Let us now take a look at the implications for companies which join a group. Anti-avoidance rules prevent a company buying another company in order to use its capital losses. Let us say that A Limited has recently purchased a 75% stake in B Limited. B Limited has capital losses brought forward of, say, £50,000. A Limited has sold an asset, making a gain of £120,000, and is looking for a way to shelter this gain.
It could transfer the gain to B Limited so that B Limited is treated as realizing the £120,000 gain.
However, under the anti-avoidance rules, transferred gains cannot be sheltered with pre-entry capital losses brought forward, as these capital losses arose prior to B Limited joining A's group. What we must therefore look closely at are the rules for determining what these pre-entry losses are. Firstly, let us take a look at the use of pre-entry losses. Pre-entry losses can only be set against gains on assets held at the time the company joined the group, or gains on assets bought after joining the group, which are used in a trade carried on by the company at the time it joined that group. In other words, pre-entry losses can only be set against assets the company owns at the time of joining, or assets it would have purchased in any case. Pre-entry capital losses can be divided into two groups. Realized pre-entry losses, which are losses on assets which have already been sold by the time the company joins the group, or unrealized pre-entry losses, which arise on assets still held at the time of joining the group, which are currently running at a capital loss. In other words, if the asset were to be sold at the time of joining the group, a loss would arise. Let us now look at how we compute these pre-entry unrealized losses. There are two methods: time apportionment or market value. In order to use the market value rule, we must physically make an election.
Taking an example, Winston Limited acquires a plot of land on the 1st of March 2001 for £750,000. It joins the Churchill Limited Group on the 1st of June 2006 when the land is worth £300,000. The land is sold on the 1st of June 2011 for £100,000. What is the pre-entry capital loss? Let's take a look at this illustration. The asset was purchased on the 1st of March 2001 and sold on the 1st of June 2011.
It was held by the company for 10 years and 3 months in total. When the asset was sold, a capital loss of £650,000 was realized, i.e. £100,000 less £750,000.
On the 1st of June 2006, Winston Limited joined the Churchill Group.
Consequently, the pre-entry period is 5 years and 3 months, and the post-entry period is exactly 5 years. The pre-entry capital losses are restricted in usage, and these are calculated as follows. The pre-entry period is 5 years 3 months, and the total period of ownership is 10 years 3 months. So the pre-entry bit works out to be £332,927. So the post-entry fully usable losses are the difference between £650,000 and £332,927, which is £317,073. However, an election can be made to calculate these pre-entry losses based on the market value of the asset at the time the company joined the group. If the asset was sold at the time Winston Limited joins the Churchill Group, the capital loss would have been £450,000, reducing the post-entry fully usable loss to £200,000. In this situation, as the election increases the restricted pre-entry loss, it should not be made, as it is not in the group's benefit. Take a look at the example on the screen. What I would like you to do is to compute the fully usable post-entry capital losses. Once you have done this, insert the number in the box and select continue when you are ready. Let us take a look at the solution.
Oxford Limited purchased a property on the 1st of May 1999 for £600,000 and sold it on the 1st of September 2010 for £100,000. realising a capital loss of £500,000. The asset was owned for 11 years and 4 months in total. On the 1st of January 2003, Oxford Limited joined the Cambridge Group. The pre-entry period is therefore 3 years and 8 months.
Computing using the normal time apportionment rule, we show a figure of £161,765. However, by making an election, the company can deem that the asset was sold at the time it joined the group. This would give a pre-entry loss of £150,000, which is lower than the time apportionment figure, which therefore means we will increase the usable post-entry loss.
Consequently, the election is worthwhile, and the post-entry loss is calculated as £350,000.
That concludes this session on the further aspects of group capital gains.